Well, good morning on this Sunday, February the 14th, Valentine's Day, to friends near and far. We're so glad you've joined us. I'd like to start by giving a couple of announcements. Of course, this is a transition week. We still will be doing prayer time at 1 o'clock on Mondays here at the church and Fridays, as well as our Zoom get-togethers at, the prayer time is 2 o'clock on Monday, but the Zoom time is 1 o'clock on Monday and Thursday. And then, of course, next Sunday, we will be able to be in the sanctuary again for services, and that will be, of course, at 10:30. We'll update you on further events as we move into what we call our red zone here. I want to also give you birthdays for this week. We've got some special people having a birthday. Today, Olivia Vanjie, we want to wish you a very happy birthday, Olivia. And Beth has her birthday on the 15th of February, and Rob has his birthday on the 16th, and of course, Margaret on the 17th. So to each of you, may the Lord really bless you this week. I want to continue on in the series that we have been discussing for the past 2 weeks on having a zeal for God. What does that look like, and how do we deal with just our own personal relationship with the Lord? And I'm proposing a number of ideas to you based on the life of Elijah and Elisha. And as you recall, they served for about a 90-year period with six different kings of Israel and six different kings of Judah. And the thing that I want you to understand as we start this morning is that I believe our God does not want us to waver in our belief that he is in charge of the universe, in charge of every aspect of our life. And so I want to quickly give you a little synopsis as we begin of times where God literally met nations such as Israel, but also individual people, and it was very real, and it was very visible. And so you would probably appreciate these scriptures. Look them up for yourself. The first one I want to point out to you is Exodus 14. Remember, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, and then the Israelites crossed over the Red Sea, and God literally had the water cover the Egyptian army, and all the people saw what God had done. In Joshua 10, you might remember it's with the Gibeonites and the Valley of Ajalon, and the Amorites were trying to attack. And first of all, the Lord sent a great torrent of stones that killed many people. And then this is one of the scriptures where God actually had the sun stand still to allow the enemies to be conquered by the Israelites. And then, of course, 1 Kings 20, you remember that is where the Syrians were attacking the Israelites, and their belief was, well, he's not a god of the hills, he's a god of the valleys. And God said, no, I'm a god of the hills and the valleys. And so there was a great slaughter as God showed his power to the nation on another occasion. And then one of my favorites is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 12 through 15, where King Jehoshaphat is surrounded by three different nations who want to attack him. And the Lord literally told him, literally watch what I will do. And the nations ended up fighting with each other, and the Israelites literally watched the enemy get vanquished. And so in those illustrations, everyone saw what God was doing. They heard his directions, and the outcome was also plainly visible. And I'm absolutely convinced that God is quite capable of showing himself to people at any time and in any place, and for you and I as well. And one of the things that I feel the Lord wants to do in all of our lives, as we see in the scriptures, is not only that we see literally with literal vision, but we also have spiritual eyes. In other words, there's the eyes of faith where God opens it up and we see physically, but we see a spiritual component. And so I've got three other scriptures there for you to study this week. The first, of course, is 1 Kings 22. And Micahiah, he says, look at, oh, I see all the hosts of heaven standing around the God of the universe. And then we have in Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, all the angels. And and all the servants of the Most High God. Acts chapter 7, Stephen, as he was about to be stoned to death, gazed up into heaven and said, look, I see God and the Son standing right beside him. And of course, those who were trying to stone him were covering their ears and yelling and coming at Stephen. He saw, and as did the other two gentlemen, the spiritual reality of a literal God who could appear at any time. And so I want to focus on one incredible example today that I think will help you as you head into this week. To maybe with some discernment, say, you know, where am I spiritually in terms of my eyes of faith? And I want to use 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 to 14 as our story for this sermon this morning. Once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, at such and such a time shall be my camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, and this is what he said, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him, and thus he was used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing, and he called his servants, and he said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? One of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And the king said, go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him. And it was told him, behold, Elisha is in Dothan. So he sent their chariots and horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning, and we know that servant was Gehazi, and he went out, behold, an army with horses and chariot was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And Elisha said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That story absolutely fascinates me. The incredible power of God. Those who are for us are more than those who are against us. But notice in Elisha's prayer several things. First of all, he did not ask God to give his servant Gehazi peace, or that the enemy would simply turn and run. In fact, Elisha does not pray that any of the circumstances would change. He simply prays that his servant will clearly see with spiritual eyes that God is in charge. So, what about you and I today? As you and I live our life on a daily basis, and we look at life through our eyes, are we seeing more than just the literal reality of this physical world? Are we looking with spiritual eyes? Eyes of faith. Are we in a point in our lives where we're saying, Lord, what are you doing today? I want to be a part of that. I want to see what you're doing. And Lord, your greatness must be all around. May I see that? May I just enjoy the reality that there is more for us than against us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so I give you Elisha's own words as a way of moving forward this week. His own personal prayer be for you and I today. And that simply is, as Elisha prayed, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are against them. And as Elisha prayed, he said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. When's the last time we literally have said, Lord, open my eyes that I may see visions and truths you have for me? What a profound way to pray. And then as I conclude this morning, I want to remind you of the incredible promises of God that that he has for all of us. And we think, oh, well, Elisha lived in a day and it was a unique situation. But I think David says it right in Psalm 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. 24/7. You and I, as sons of the Most High God, the angel of the Lord is camping around us. And then in Hebrews, Paul says, remember the depths of how God works, and he sends out his angels. He dispatches his emissaries to help us. And are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? God and the troops of heaven are coming to our assistance. And I think this is why Paul has such confidence when he says in Romans 8, but I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, as you head into this new week in February, ask the Lord to show you the greatness of his power and his determination of what he wants to do in authority over the world. And so be still. Be still and know that he is in charge. Know that he's God. I want to conclude this morning by having the song made by Chris Tomlin, God of Angel Armies. I want you to hear it now, and I want you to see the words on the screen, and I'll make a final comment when it is over. So listen to this marvelous song and enjoy it.
Fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? Who goes before me? My strength. stands behind the God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
The God of angel armies is always by your side. May I pray for you this morning. Father, for all that you are and all that you will be, we thank you that you love us so much. And Father, this is the greatest form of love in that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus so that he could walk and talk with us and we could have a relationship with you with sins forgiven and eternity ahead of us. But more than that, the ability to see by faith what is missing in this world that is so temporal and temporary. And so, Father, for each one who is in this service together with me, may we sense your presence as we move into this new week, your power, your majesty, your glory, and all that makes up your incredible authority, so that in everything, we would see the reason why we love you and the reasons why we honor you. You are an amazing God. And so we bless your name this day and thank you for all that you continue to do every day of our lives. In your powerful name we pray. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you.